Hey, I'm Jack Paul.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Travis J.
It's Darren Isaacs.
Hey, this is DJ Hannibal in the mix.
Hey, Soul Nation, this is IFBB Pro, Neil Hamilton.
This is Kadar Clark.
Hey, what's up, you guys? This is your boy Nate from Nate Bates.
What's up, beautiful people? It's your boy Stack.
Family, how you doing? It's your boy Todd Marshall, your next generation leader and your musical entrepreneur.
This is Addis Hyland, founder of the Bahamian Icon Awards, and you're listening to
It's Your Time to Soar.
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 You're tuned into It's Your Time to Soar.
It's your time to soar.
It's your time to soar.
With my brother, Felici Ranger.
Hello and welcome to It's Your Time to Soar. If this is your first time tuning in, know to inspire, motivate, and empower. Welcome back, Soar Nation. And on this episode again, I got my good buddy here with me again, Travi J. Listen, we're actually going to be talking about entrepreneurship today, and it's gonna be awesome conversation style today. So we're gonna be touching various topics. And if you're tuning in today, I just want you to know, if this is your first time here, that on What Is Your Time to Soar, we help the listeners to release excess baggage that has been built up through the years, and they try to figure out why they cannot take flight in purpose in business as an entrepreneur, creative, or even unemployed. But we're going to help you today to release that excess baggage, because remember, it's your time to soar. Travi J, for all of those who haven't listened to the first interview we did on maximizing your singlehood, and if you haven't watched that, you should go right now and watch that. That episode was shame. Travi J, welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be here, man. It's a pleasure to sit here, dialogue with you, speak to you. Listeners. As I've said just now, I'm proud of you. You know, you're growing.
Thank you.
It's a good thing. I see as you reach the people that people don't normally target. You know, the day people look for those who then hit the millions and then hit all this money and have all this notoriety. But you're giving the people who just regular person who probably got to do two jobs and doing the hustle on the side.
Right.
But it's, you know, developing them, so it shows them a level of appreciation that they're doing something. So
right,
that's a good look. I'm glad to be back.
I know, and time went so fast. I don't know if that was, April?
That was in April, March. Because it came out in March. It came out in April. Yeah, but like around February, we did that.
Yeah, but that was awesome. That's awesome, man. You know, during that episode, there was, you know, it was so much wealth of knowledge going on, and I didn't want you to cram everything into that episode. That's why I said, you know what, I'm gonna bring you back second time so that we can talk about entrepreneurship, because that was an area we didn't really touch. So I just want you to tell everyone, tell them about your business and whatever your business goals, how you got started, and all of that.
But first, at this current time, we actually on the store on Arsenal Street called A&J Hardware. We sell basically small appliances, your household supplies, stuff like that. So we sell those located, let's say, 109 Arsenal Street, four buildings north of Super Value. On the right hand side is a peach building with a green door. My vision for my company per se is just to grow to a level of where it's self-sustaining. You know, I don't want it to be, I personally don't have a desire to be big like Gellies and all that other stuff. You know, that's too much overhead and all that stuff. I just like it where it is, and it's going to grow. I'm currently in the process of expanding the shop. I added on to the shop, so
awesome.
Sometime soon we just need to tie it up and stuff. We're going to open up the shop. So, and it's doing what it does because I just try to price it according to the people. You know, I don't feel as though if item costs a dollar in America, I get it here, it should cost $50 when it gets here. So I sort of put a mark upon it where it covers my expenses through taxes and shipping, but at the same time, you know, it gives me a profit, but it then also gives the consumer, you know, a discounted price. So they feel a certain type of way. I'm sort of dumping the Chinese way. I sell in volume. I try to sell in volumes because you may have it for 50 if I got it for 30. I could sell 50 and you may can't even sell one.
Right.
You know, so it's a philosophy. Profit is profit.
Right.
I can make more profit over volume than over any other thing. I started business, believe it or not, I didn't know this was a business. I used to wash my grandmother's limousine. Wow. When I was in high school, I was making like $20 a day in high school. I'm making like $140 a week. That's just washing a limousine. Mm. But as to say an actual business, the first thing I did was I had a friend who would have just came out of jail. And I gave him 1,100, I done like the phone cards are popping, the GSM phone cards are
right. Right.
And I went and I got $1,100 with the phone cards and I gave it to him. I told him, bro, listen, you give me $100 a week and you keep the rest. At that moment, I realized what $100 extra week could do for me.
Right.
That's gas, that's so much stuff I did not have to buy.
Right.
And that was like, wow, this is a good thing. And then I think like I did it for 2 years and I just told him to keep just run with the business because I didn't want to, you know, impose him because I've already been paid back my $1,100 already. So he ran with that and then things changed with, they got away from the card, they got away from the system, so they run all the vendors from off the road.
Right.
So that's what got me out of that. I mean, my mom did a lot of business together. Like, my mom, I love my mom. He said, listen, my mom is a very, very wonderful person. We did I bought a hot dog car. So crazy this is. Like,
right.
I'm going to say this. I didn't just happen to end up into a level of success in business. I failed my way into a level of success in business. Like, we used to sell Chinese food. It didn't go well. Like, to this day, we set up the walk in the house well. We didn't know it's a car side. We didn't oil it properly, so the walk would have went bad. We used to sell carrot juice. We used bottled juice ourselves. We used to sell banana bread, ice cream, hot dog. We sold so many things. But at some point, we actually sold, I sold female clothes. The store, the name of the store was the Color Cottage. So as a man, I'm going on these stores, like Giddy Online. I'm traveling to America and I'm getting clothes from Jeanette Fashion in California.
Right.
And as a man, I'm selling these things.
Right.
So like I'm realizing that when you hustle, you gotta hustle. And
right.
Like I also used to sell wholesale stockings. So I used to go to the supply in Miami, bring the stockings over here. And as a man, I am walking like with dozens of stockings in a box and I'm going to places, I'm going into banks. I'm going into like business places and offices and I'm selling stockings. Oh, we want one stocking, we want half a dozen, a dozen, like
whatever you want.
Whatever you want. I sell hair, I whatever.
What?
There's a market. I basically found it. And but the female clothing was going well, but the storm, I think 2-3 years ago, somebody would broke into the store and they took $20,000 worth of stuff. They took the clothes off the mannequin. That's how crazy it was. They took down to the cordless phone and the router. Everything. Their time. They actually. And that was good because it didn't really affect me because I'd say they didn't come to the door. If they came to the door, they'd be like, that's something on me. They had time to power outage to use a hammer and a maul or whatever and come and break through the wall.
What?
That's how they got in there. So they took all the cameras, swords, everything. So like the benefit that I have is that I own the property.
Right.
And I own the shop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not renting it. So it, to me, I had to do something else. It wasn't an option. I own this property and I own the shop. Why am I just going to just say, close it up? No. So then me and my mom said, we got together and we decided to let's try something different. And like blossom from, we just got some hardware stuff. We started with that. We listen to people. If you're a business person, one of the important things I can tell you to do, listen to your customer, listen to your consumer, because they'll be like, oh, you don't sell this thing. That's something to write down. And if you have 10 people asking for that, you take their number and you start to bring it in. Even if you only bring it in to serve those 10 people, to bring 2 or 3 extras, and that's how you're going to be grow just off a product. My vision would have been for my shop to be known for 10 to 20 products. So when you think of a product, it's like, I said laundry baskets at the time for $8. When you think of a laundry basket, so you think about a pot set, 7-piece pot set, nonstick, $40, try. So like once you do it like that, what is your shop known for?
Right.
What is your shop known for?
Right.
That's what you have to know right now. What is it known for? And then that's how you get out of the product. So when they walk in there, oh, you sell hair too? Well, let me get some hair while it's here. Let me get this while it's in here. And before you know it, it's miscellaneous stuff that they didn't even come there for, that they picked up and they patronized just because they were in there. So that's how I was able to grow my store. One thing I like to tell anybody is you have to travel. No business idea that's in this country, somebody sat in the Bahamas and thought of it. They went somewhere and they saw it being done.
Right.
And they just said, let me bring that to the Bahamas. So you think it's cool to sit around, you go somewhere, go to China, go to wherever, go to Panama, go any place, mm-hmm. and you see something, you'll be like, you know what, this ain't even in the Bahamas yet. Let me see if I get this, yeah. You'll be the first, you're going to have some people hating on it, some static, some red tape, because the government may want to, you know, dab in it or whatever, but right. you'll be the first to do it. And that's what Inky Johnson said, what is a leader? A leader's a person I'm afraid to go first. So right. you'll be the person to go first, you'll be able to be known for it, sort of pattern it, and you can tweak it the way you want to tweak it. The people may do it after you, but, you know, that's just how it is. You can't take that, you can't own that hell.
No.
So that's what it is. At some point, when everybody was doing wings and waffles,
right.
that's everything. Everybody on the ground right. was doing wings and waffles. I didn't do wings and waffles. I started selling deep fries and waffle makers. So yeah, that's just what it was. So now, like, everybody in the brand, okay, everybody do your price. I don't gotta sell wings and waffles.
No.
I give $100 package, waffle maker, deep fryer, $100.
Right.
So I'm selling like 15 of them.
Right.
To one person because they need the stuff because they want their brunch done. So that's what you gotta think. You gotta think outside the box, and what it is you have to look at what people need.
Right.
I don't care what is going on for anybody to produce anything, they need some stuff.
Right.
And you could be the person to just find it. Be the person to bring it to them. Simple as it is, even if you find a way to take $5 off of it. They're gonna do that. They're gonna patronize you.
Right.
Payment people are people of convenience.
Right.
You can charge somebody $5 for delivery, and they'll be there because they don't come with deals.
No.
And that's $5. And if you do that right, you may say $5 is gas, whatever. But if you get 10 deliveries within one little cycle, and in 5 minutes you can make $50 extra just off of delivery. You just have to know how to do it right. These are little small little tips that you could do to make money.
Right.
You know, and people feel as though it's difficult. People afraid to try.
Right.
People afraid to get out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. The reason it's working for other people is because other people try.
Yeah.
Other people fail so much, they succeed.
Feeling forward, basically.
That's what it is. You got, and like somebody said, like, failure is the opposite of success. Failure isn't the opposite of success. Mm-hmm. Failure is a part of success.
Right.
Like, nobody just on there. First try became successful. He failed. I think they're talking with the Amazon guy. He failed at something and now he owns Amazon. Jeff Bezos is his name.
Jeff Bezos, right.
Yeah, so like these dudes are failing, like you gotta be able to take it. And when you fail at something, even if you succeed at something, don't take too much time sitting in that moment of depression or of glory because that's time. We don't have time to waste. Time is of the essence. Time really is of the essence.
Right.
You don't have time to feel at something and you cry and you listen. Okay, cool, that didn't work. You take 5 minutes, touch yourself off. Where did it go wrong? Let's tweak it. Okay, you won. Okay, cool. Keep in mind, you know, when you get to the top of level one, mm-hmm. and you try to go to level two, level two is another set of stairs to climb.
Right.
But you're now at the bottom of level two.
Right.
So don't think it's, I'm at level two. I'm at the bottom of level two. Now I gotta go to the top of level two, get to level three, but I'll be at the bottom again. At the end of the year, you realize that you're never gonna be at the top. Have the mindset that there's always more that I can do. There's always more for me to do. There's always more that I could have done. You look at people and they like to sleep. I don't know how to get to sleep. You can't sleep and be successful unless you make money in your sleep. And to make money in your sleep, you have to be established.
Right.
You have to have so much arms waiting for you in your sleep that it's ridiculous.
Right.
Even those that make money in their sleep, they don't sleep that much as well.
No, they don't even sleep. That's the thing.
They don't have the liberty to sleep because any wrong move could crumple the whole situation. Right. And what's so crazy, when you have so many people working for you, or so many different ways that you're making money, and you're not hands-on with it, you have to be very careful with people that work for you. Because somebody who works for you, who you don't even know because your business is so vast, they can do something wrong.
Right.
And your whole company could crumble, you didn't even want a person even in.
Right.
Then you do something that costs your company to be get sued for these millions of dollars or company to crumble because of forgery or whatever the situation is.
Right.
And you know in the Bahamas, you always guilty.
Right.
You guilty before anything else. So they're like, I sure didn't know that. I spot him no more. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, one bad thing. And you may have been out in Miami watching the Dolphins game. Something happened to your shop over here, you didn't even know.
Exactly.
When you come back, shop is garbage, nothing there because somebody made a bad decision, the whole town went against you. So it's good to be an entrepreneur, but it ain't what everybody thinks it is. It pays off, but you're gonna have to put in that sacrifice. Sacrifice of time. And I really believe that time is the most precious thing that you have. You could take money and waste money and throw money away, but you can get that back.
Right.
5 seconds ago they said what they just said, I can't get that back. And that was just 5 seconds ago.
Right.
That's not even 5 seconds ago now. So crazy it is. So time is one of the most important mediums that we can have. Maximize it. My one of the biggest things about this current time and space is in about, this is a time of dynamic change. And all this is for dynamic change.
Right.
The opportunities that are open today, 5 years from now, they won't be there.
Right.
Because everybody is now going to do it. As I mentioned, the wings and waffle
net.
When you first got into that, lucrative.
Right.
Now people realize that making money, 80 people now are doing that.
Right.
Because you waited. You wait too long to get in there. Even the person who first started by now may have closed.
Right.
Because the market has now down. So you have to seize that moment when it's possible. You can't wait to say, let me see how it can be 2 months out. No. You get on that rate then and there, and you tweak it how you want to tweak it. And if it's so happened, 10 people come after you and they kill the market, you made your money while you were there. Right. Just know when to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say, don't stay in the dance too long. Just, you gotta find nobody to dance with.
Right.
So that's one of the major things that people should know. Don't be afraid. Like everybody you speak to, I want to do that, but what's the but?
Yeah.
Your biggest enemy is the person who's seeing you look in the mirror. That's your biggest. That's your biggest obstacle.
Right.
Because you look at yourself and you're like, I wonder. You don't want to just do it. What's so interesting about us as a people is that
we could
find a bunch of nonsense to spend money on.
Mm-hmm.
We could find nonsense to spend money on. With the same money you use for nonsense, if you pinch that pinch, then you could open up a business. And it ain't hard. Like people feel as if you need $10,000. You don't need $10,000. Listen to me, man. I just had my shop for $300.
Cool.
I started $300.
Wow.
I started my shop.
Mm-hmm.
And time, the father's blessed me into what it is.
Right.
I discovered that, but.
Right.
So that's what I started it with.
Right.
Like yourself to have a plan. I know to be disciplined. Once you, let's say like you invest $300
mm-hmm.
in a month's time, the 306. What most people now do is this.
Right.
With that extra $300, they'd be like, oh, I make $300. You did not make $300. You now have $600 to put into your company. 12, no, you did not make six. But that $1,200, now that's how you grow your product. That's
right.
How you go now. Your initial $300, whatever you bought, that $300, you buy it again. With this new tree,
mm-hmm.
you buy some other stuff. That's how now you spread the inventory out.
Right.
Most people, I spent $300, now I have six. Put that $300 back in the business, and put the $300 inside their pocket. That's how they think. That's why the business never goes to business for 10 years when you sell one product.
Right.
That's how they think it.
Right.
And as well as, what some people know is that they feel as though their business money is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Your business money is not yours. Your business money belongs to the business.
Right.
I don't care how much money A&J Hardware makes in a week. I would pay myself a salary of $250 for my shop.
Mm-hmm.
I could make $10,000, I could make whatever. I pay myself $250 a week. I give myself a paycheck from that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't touch on that extra stuff. That's not my money.
Right.
Touch on that extra stuff. That's not my money.
Right.
That money belongs to A&J Hardware. What I feel is this, because I have a full-time employee who works for me.
Right.
I've adopted the philosophy that because that person works for me, their whole soul as an extension is my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily get to pay the bills. I don't put the grocery in there.
Right.
However, the decisions that I make
mm-hmm.
affect if my company is around.
Right.
As long as my company is around, that
mm-hmm.
person has a job.
Right.
So if they have a job, they can feed their family.
Right.
That's how it trickles down.
Right.
So if I were to take the money and go there and buy Gucci and buy all these things that I don't need, that's stopping into A&J's money.
Right.
And when the bills got to get paid, you know, money to pay the bills for the shop.
Right.
The money for inventory is being wasted, so I have no inventory to replenish.
Right.
I have to now fire at someone because I got no money to pay her.
Right.
So now she's out of a job, her bills can't be paid, her kids can't eat.
Right.
So when you hire people and they're your employee part-time or full-time,
mm-hmm.
you must adopt the philosophy that this person, you are responsible for this person's livelihood. Most people don't think that way.
No.
When you understand that you are accountable and responsible for the people who, your family,
mm-hmm.
and the people that work for you, who are your family, because you trust them with some way to work
some
for
level,
you,
right.
then you got to be able to
mm-hmm.
to know how to be responsible mm-hmm. to take care of those people. But anybody, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You guys have to start it.
So what do you think? What do you think now is going through the minds of persons, whether in Abaco and Freeport, who are entrepreneurs as well, and they lost their businesses? Can you give them any advice, inspiration, motivation at this point?
First of all, I'd like to just send condolences to anybody who's lost, any loved ones. Lost things can be replaced, but you know, you have your life, so that's hope. I'm sure life will hope. I feel as though more than ever right now is the time to network.
Right.
You know, because right now, if you had to move, if you were displaced and you had to move to Nassau, your mindset, your skill of marketing, your skill of whatever, mm-hmm. if you find the right set of people, they can use that.
Right.
They can use that, and then you can be employed in some type of way of that until you're able to, you know, do the things that you can no longer do at this time.
Right.
If you're an entrepreneur, it's not something you really went to school for. Mm-hmm. You have the knowledge. And one thing they can never take from you is knowledge. You right. know how to make money.
Right.
And you know how to flip it, how to do all this stuff, so you know how to do it. So you take that and you find the right set of people that can use your skill set. Mm-hmm. Even if it's something that would have been done in Abaco or Grandmama and stuff being done in Nassau, on that level or whatever, introduce it.
Right.
I don't care if people be like, oh, they ain't give me a chance. If your product making sense, mm-hmm. if your service making sense,
right.
there is a job space, there's a market for you. So if you've been displaced and you're going through these feels, I can't even speak to what it is because I haven't been in the situation. I mean, none of us have been in the situation. No. So one thing my mom always says, I gotta bring up all the time, but
yeah.
She say, only what's done for Christ will last.
Right.
And my prayer is a very, very serious thing. I admonish anybody. Those affected are not, you always pray. What's crazy is before I used to, I try my best to pray every morning, and I'm really successful.
Right.
Before I used to pray every morning, my business was the same level of success that it was. Mm-hmm. And you may call it superstition, or you may call it whatever, but it's a proven fact. And when I pray, I don't pray and ask God for anything at this point, you know. Mm-hmm. I just thank Him for what He's already done for me. Mm-hmm. And once you continue to pray, I ain't getting fast tithes and all that stuff or whatever, however you tithe, you think I'm, that knowledge, His presence, and something like that will always, like, you'll always come on top. And God is going to give you a vision. I don't want to be a pastor, I ain't no big Christian, but anyway, but like, I don't remember that. But anyway, like, God is going to give you a vision for something. You just have to put the work in. All you have to do is put the work in. He's going to give you the vision. If He come tell you, go make chairs. What you mean, go? You put the work in. And some way along the line that you making chairs, mm-hmm. there's going to be a market for you to sell these chairs. I don't know how it happens.
Right.
I opened a landscaping company. I don't do it anymore. I opened a landscaping company. When my shop was damaged those years ago, I went away to Home Depot to buy some stuff. When I was in Home Depot, something told me, buy a lawnmower and a beadwack. If you go where I live, there's no grass in my yard. What I doing buying a lawnmower? Legit, there's no grass in my yard, you know. Buy a lawnmower. And I walk by it. And so I buy a lawnmower, beadwack, extra blade, all my gloves, cool. Came home, I'm sitting under, went with one of my boys. I'm cutting grass for $50, man. So I'm cutting this grass. Remember, every week, cutting grass for $50. Doing it. I had a job, I had $50. So within 2 months, I was able to make back the money that I bought for the stuff.
Right.
I bought the cheapest lawnmower, like right. $129. Cheapest would be $69.
Right.
So within 2 months, I was basically able to buy those stuff back, to pay those stuff off.
Right.
Then I ended up getting, because I am his neighbor, and somebody around the corner. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, I'm out Venice Bay. I'm dancing. I'm out Venice Bay meeting someone. I'm serious. I'm with Venice Bay awesome. Cleaning somebody out. I'm in Westridge cleaning somebody. I'm all over the place, and that's true, like, simple stuff.
Right.
And to this day, there's been no grass in my yard. then I said, let me buy two chainsaws. Before you know it, I have chainsaw jobs, cutting down trees and all this stuff. So for me, that's something that I personally did not have to, because for that, you have to be present. Mm-hmm. I don't have that type of time.
Right.
So that's why, to me, it collapsed.
Right.
You know, but, that's strenuous on my back. I ain't gonna lie, it's very strenuous. So like, I don't like to do it properly. Like, people do it to work for me or whatever, and then that's why that faded away. But that's just as simple as it was. Mm-hmm. He gave me vision, buy it.
Yeah.
And legit, I would have made, if I spent $300, I would have made way more than 10 times the value of those stuff. I cleared down a piece of property. It's crazy, you know, mm-hmm. in the back of Westman. I don't know what, like, stuff dudes need heavy trucking thing for.
Right.
Me and my friend, I just learned more weed walker and cutlass and chainsaw. Right. So clear down a whole piece of property. The money they made from that property was very substantial. Because you know what clearing that property
right,
is?
Clearing property, yeah.
I'm cutting down trees bigger than this building. I'm cutting down. Yeah, it's solid. So I. So, but it's simple. That's me. I just put the work in. I knew I would have a love for work. Right. You know, sometimes people say you have to look for a job. Don't look for a job. You have to look for work.
Right.
You look for a job. People go, you just won't know. You look for work. Once you are in love with work, you're gonna be great. Because when you looking for the job, mm-hmm. mentally the job closes at 5 o'clock.
Right.
The job itself closes at 5 o'clock.
Right.
But work is never done.
Right.
So if you fall in love with work, that's what's gonna be noticed. Because at 5 o'clock, 4:58. Looking at the dog.
Right.
When you fall in love with work, mm-hmm. fire clearly and you in there and they gotta run you with that place.
Right.
So when you fall in love with work, it's very different than when you just go down looking for a job. Mm-hmm. These are things that people know, these are things that separate people from being good and great. Mm-hmm. And as a business owner, the staff looks at the clock. Mm-hmm. The business owner looks at the register.
Right.
As a person who owns the business, you don't look at the clock at all. You look at the register.
Right.
So when you find someone that looks at the register, not the thief now, but looks at the register, the same way you look at the register, that's somebody that looks at the register, the same way you look at the register, that's somebody that you can now trust with your business. So it's simple things that you can do, and like, some people feel as though they shouldn't work for people. But if all doesn't work for nobody, will gather. You know, like, so like, that means that they shouldn't work for people, but you could work for people, and you could find your side hustle.
Right.
You ain't gotta leave your job. You're, and most people I know, their side hustle makes way more money than their actual job.
Right.
But their job gives them access, credit at the bank, if they need a loan, because it's an established company.
Right.
So all this stuff. So don't feel as though
the benefits.
Yeah, the benefit, health benefits, death or something that you might need yourself and that or whatever. So to me, if I leave my job right now, my medical is gone.
Right.
That's very more important thing. my medical is really good.
Right.
So I'm not gonna leave my job because I now own this business. I can do both at the exact same time.
Right.
So, and people be like, oh, I don't work for the man. But okay, you don't work for the man. Open your business. And if things happen to get rough, then what's happened? You left your shore, 25 or 3,000, whatever it was you're making, to now go to somewhere. You have to work. You have to work
right.
super hard.
Right.
You may be in a position here where you may have been in a supervisory position, mm-hmm. a supervisory role, mm-hmm. and your job is basically telling people what to do.
Right.
But you get $3,000, $3,500 for that.
Mm-hmm.
So now you leave that because you don't work for the man. To now come to your company that is self-sustaining,
mm-hmm.
and you being there isn't making that shop make an extra dollar. Your shop is doing what it's doing.
Right.
Your presence there isn't making it an extra dollar. So why cut yourself short $3,000 or $3,500 a month
mm-hmm.
just to set up in your shop with their owners? I haven't been to my shop in about a week. Look at that number. That shop doing what they're doing. It's selling
right.
my mommy or she go there. With. I ain't gotta go there. What I gotta go there for?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the camera. Make sure you know.
Right.
I don't have to go there. The shop is self-sustaining. It's doing what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta work and I go home.
Right.
And because AMG Hardware is its own thing.
Right.
It's making its own money.
Right.
That's not my money.
Right.
If I go on the car and I say, "Now take your $10," I put in a book because then the money has to look right. I can't explain. You put in the book, Travis, take $10. No, put that $10 back because.
Right.
You know, you have to be accountable. And that's what some people go wrong. They
mm-hmm.
just take the money and do everything with it. They forget where they spend it. Then the number's off. Then they fire their staff.
Right.
Because they're not, why are the numbers off?
Right.
They can take $10.
That is mental health.
First of all, mental health is real. It's something that, I don't know, because we as people look at certain things a certain way, we look at it as a weakness. Or feel that some people are BSing around.
Mm-hmm.
But mental health is real. Some people go through situations and they're affected by it. Some people, God forbid, would have been raped by their elder family members as an adolescent
mm-hmm.
or as a child. and it's stick with them. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are born with learning deficiencies. Mm-hmm. You know, and we just say, "Oh, they crazy, or they whatever the case is." But they, it's real. You know, they need assistance. Just like, oh, somebody may have been born deaf, mm-hmm. cerebral palsy, or whatever. The same assistance that that person needs, those other people need assistance as well. And if until we get a a grip on understanding that mental health is real, and then we accept that we can never be able to address how it should be fixed or how it should be addressed.
Right.
Because programs can be put into place for a level of rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
If I, that's a good word to use, because ain't nothing wrong. But
right.
for a level of trying to fix, excuse me, mental health issues, even if it's seeing a psychiatrist to get over it. Some people have pent-up progression, post-traumatic stress disorder. The people that are coming from Abaco, they have been little issues because they've never seen death or smelled death or seen something of that magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see the family members get snatched from them. So that this now is the time that mental health is going to be displayed. You're going to see it on so much levels. People suffering, you see therapists because their last memory of their loved one would have been X, Y, and Z, and just blink of an eye in the storm and all the stuff, situations being in the roof and all these things are tedious on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to play on the mind and they will need a place to vent. Especially men, and they say, "Man, don't cry." Well, listen, if you got to cry, we'll cry. Yeah? It's not in the job, got a job on the grind. But that's what it is. And you have to
get it up.
You have to get it up. Like, I don't know if you ever had a situation, any of y'all ever had a situation where something was just on you. And the minute you were able to tell that to someone, it's like a boulder was removed off your shoulders.
Lisa.
Just because you were able to get this information out.
Right.
And it don't matter what they say after they hear it, you know, but it gave you peace. What you understand is that your health, your peace should be paramount. I don't care what the situation is, it should be paramount. If you need to speak to someone, find someone you can speak with, someone that you trust, that they can put your business on bombs and news and all these funny things.
Right.
You go there, you find these stuff, and you have a healthy discourse, you know, a healthy back and forth of information or whatever. Somebody that they will listen to you before they speak. They won't speak with the judgmental aspect. They speak and they listen to you, they hear your plight, and they try to work with you as best as they can. Or if they can't give you the information, they find someone who can, or they seek the information to bring it back to you. You know, you ask me how much is 1 + 1, I don't know, I ask somebody outside, I bring it to you. Nobody knew that you didn't know what 1 + 1 was. I took the brunt, I don't know what it is.
Right.
You know, and that's just what it was. So, mental health is very, this is real, I'm gonna put it like that. So if you feel as though you haven't this or that, don't be afraid to address it, speak to someone, find someone, and the life that you live can very much so be your own, because when you have these skeletons or you have these stuff that weigh you down, it deprives you of attaining certain things, because there's going to be a level of fear associated with it.
Right.
A level of fear that I can't do this. Because mentally, there's a barrier that's refraining me from crossing this threshold.
Right.
So, and that mental issue, so once you release that, you're able to tap into parts of your mind that you didn't know exist. Because you're so focused on whatever the issue is.
Right.
The fact that you're still holding on and haven't released it, that takes up space in your brain, which you would have been using to focus on something else being, you know, more productive in your goal or whatever the case is. So I've seen cases of people that struggle off and say, oh, they're crazy or whatever, and they legit just needed someone to talk to. Sometimes you ride on the house of the street, these funny places, you'd be like, oh, that person is a Jones, or the person is a bum. And then you hear their backstory, their mom and dad are millionaires.
Right.
They want drugs and they went and they keep putting them in rehab and they cleaned them up, and this dude ran there driving in the air Mercedes Benz, and you still live in the same life you live in. He was calling him a bum and a Joneser.
Right.
He cleaned up, he got he got his issues. Now you're just styling on you. Now you're drinking, like, you $5 if you needed it, out of gas or whatever.
Right.
So, like, it's real. And I ask him, don't knock nobody. You know, they have it.
Thing about the thing is, vice versa, you may see somebody, you know, rolling in the Benz, they may be dressed up, they may be looking good, and you might not think nothing is wrong, but down the tank, there's a whole war going on inside of that battle, going on inside of them, and you'd be like, why would I just saw him, he looked fine to me, but that doesn't mean he was fine.
Then you go there and commit suicide or whatever. something is crushing him mentally. Right. One thing that I know as well, I've experienced it, let me say that, but one thing that I can say that I think as well is, just say, especially men, if they end up in a situation where they catch their loved one doing adultery, you know, cheating or whatever the case is, and they hold that in, and then before you know it, he end up beating her or knocking at her hand or doing whatever, taking his frustrations out.
Right.
Because he had nobody to talk to, say, listen, man, this is my situation, and you talk to somebody, but that's, even if it's a close friend, you know, feeling as though he's going to belittle him, and he can be able to listen to me. It happens to everyone. He can be able to give you counsel, give you safe counsel, give you a good way. Listen, you ain't got a good house, you can sleep at night. Come from out of that environment and tell you, and I could talk about it. If you, that's, you'll wake it out, then you wake it out. If you won't get rid of it, then that's what it is. But let's speak about it. Let's address this. And people cheating, I don't know why they're doing it, but they're doing it. And when people find out, they end up doing things like, God forbid, leads to death or whatever, abuse or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you had someone that you could just speak with that bit, that could have avoided you jail time or death or whatever the situation is, because
right.
it's going to be an emotional time.
Right.
And as we, you know, the worst things happen when you feed off emotion.
Right.
So when you feed off emotion, that's hate and that's rage and all those things,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have something to simmer you down, something to be like, you know, let me come from Ryan, so let me talk to my brethren, let me talk
right.
to my sister, let me get, and person gives you safe counsel. And also, the people that you go to for the safe counsel, make sure the person is somebody that you should be seeking information from.
Right.
Not because that's your brother, that's your sister, your mommy, or your daddy. So, mental health is very, this is real. I'm going to put it like that. So if you feel as though you haven't just saw that, don't be afraid to address it, speak to someone, find someone. And the life that you see can very, very much so be your own. Because when you have these skeletons or you have these stuff that weigh you down, it deprives you of attaining certain things, because there's going to be a level of fear associated with it.
Right.
A level of fear that I can't do this. Because mentally, there's a barrier that's refraining me from crossing this threshold.
Right.
So, and that mental issue. So once you release that, you're able to tap into parts of your mind that you didn't know exist. You may, because you're so focused on whatever the issue is.
Right.
The fact that you're still holding on and haven't released it, that takes up space in your brain which you would have been using to focus on something else, being, you know, more productive in your goal or whatever the case is. So,
right.
I've seen cases of people that. People just struggle off and say, oh, they're crazy or whatever. And they legit just needed someone to talk to. Sometimes you ride on the house of the street, these funny places, you'd be like, oh, that person is a Jones, that person is a bum. And then you had a backstory, their mom and dad are millionaires.
Right.
They want drugs and they went and they put them in rehab and they cleaned them up. And this dude ran there driving in the air, Mercedes Benz, and you still live in the same life you live in. He was calling him a bum and a Jones.
Right.
He cleaned up, he got he got his issues. Now you're just styling on you. Now you're drinking and you $5 if you needed it out of gas or whatever.
Right.
So like it's real, and I ask them, don't knock nobody. You
right.
know, if they have it.
Thing of and you know, and the thing is vice versa. You may see somebody, you know, rolling in the Benz. They may be dressed up, they may be looking good. And you might not think nothing is wrong, but the other time it's a whole war going on inside of that battle going on inside of them. And you'd be like, "Why would I just saw him. He looked fine to me. He looked fine, but that doesn't mean he was fine."
Then you go there and commit suicide or whatever, and it's because something is crushing him mentally.
Right.
One thing that I know as well, I've experienced it, let me say that, but one thing that I can say that I think as well is, just say, especially men, if they end up in a situation where they catch their loved one doing adultery, you know, cheating or whatever the case is, and they hold that in, and then before you know it, he end up beating her or knocking at her hand or doing whatever, taking his frustrations out.
Right.
Because he had nobody to talk to, say, listen, man, this is my situation, and you talk to somebody, but that's, even if it's a close friend, you know, feeling as though he's going to belittle him, and he can be able to listen to me. It happens to everyone. He can be able to give you counsel, give you safe counsel, give you a good way. Listen, you ain't got a good house, you can sleep better night. Come from out of that environment and tell you, and I could talk about it. If you'll wake it out, then you wake it out. If you won't get rid of it, then that's what it is. But let's speak about it. Let's address this. And people cheating, I don't know why they're doing it, but they're doing it. And when people find out, they end up doing things like, God forbid, leads in death or whatever, abuse or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you had someone that you could just speak with that bit, that could have avoided you jail time or death or whatever the situation is, because right. it's going to be an emotional time.
Right.
And as we know, the worst things happen when you feed off emotion.
Right.
So when you feed off emotion, that's hate, that's rage, and all those things, if you don't have something to simmer you down, something to be like, you know, let me come from Ryan, so I can, let me talk to my brethren, let me talk right. to my sister, let me get, and person gives you safe counsel. And also, the people that you go to for the safe counsel, make sure the person is somebody that you should be seeking information from. Right. Not because that's your brother, that's your sister, your mommy, or your daddy, right. means you should go to them for certain things. Because they may lead you down the path of destruction. You may have been better running off your emotion.
Right.
You know, your emotion may have caused you to do something that wouldn't hurt anybody.
No.
But then they may have gassed you up. So be careful of the people that you go to for information, for assistance.
Right.
They can actually do more do more harm than good.
Yeah.
So that's another thing as well.
Yeah, because, you know, someone I actually heard in an interview one time that this is a business owner. And just like, think this actually can relate to when we talk about mental health. He said, you have persons in your business, they're walking around with two buckets in their hand. One bucket is a bucket of gasoline, and one is a bucket of water, you know? And you have persons who are walking around just like that. Some persons are able to throw a water on a situation to cool it down. And someone by them saying, talking to the person, and they aren't stable themselves, because they, you know, some people end up finding or attracted to persons who are going through the very same thing, and you know they share their problems, issues with them, and they end up leading them right over a cliff, and that's even worse.
That's true. that's very true. In this time, in this climate, especially over here, your network of friends or associates, whatever you want to call them, they should be people that you can go to with any situation. You know, we like to find people that we could party with and go to fancy dinners with and travel and take pictures in Dubai and all these funny things. But if in your time of need of a friend, actual friend, not money, but if you can't go to the person to confide in, then all those pictures and all those funny stuff would have been for nothing,
right.
because you only look good.
Right.
But the connection of the bond of mind to mind isn't there. So
right.
you have to ensure that the people that you let in your space,
right.
they give off a healthy energy. You know, it's productive for you. And let me tell you, when you know people mean you well, if you're having a bad day, they can see it without you telling them. Like, some people can see when something wrong with you.
Right.
Like, either you ain't talking as you used to, or you ain't, that's really, you say, hey, what happened to you? Like, people
right.
like that, you should point out, because they observe you enough to know when you're doing good and when you're doing bad.
Right.
Some people have spouses that can't do that.
Mm.
They walk in, no stress out, and they walking around. Like, you ain't bring the milk from the fridge, dog, you know, whatever, around,
right.
and you ain't pet. Meanwhile, somebody could look at you and be like, I can see you, relax yourself, I can see
right.
you, and like, it's very important to be around people that know you,
yeah.
without you having to say, like, they know who you are, and they don't have to question who you are off of, you know, people's spread and stuff or whatever, so
mm-hmm.
it's good to have people in your corner that are legit your friends,
right.
They know who you are, they can tell when you're having a bad day and stuff like that, so they can know how to mediate for you,
right.
how to get you back to where you want
mm-hmm.
to. So, like, I feel it's dope. But the people that you pick to associate yourself with, to share the space of life with,
mm-hmm.
is a very, very telling thing. And in reference to your mental health, in reference
right.
to your growth as a person, your business growth,
mm-hmm.
Even in the growth of your kids.
Right.
You know, the people that you choose to be around, they directly influence you, they directly impact the course of your life and the course of your family.
Right.
Let's say, for instance, you have a son. Your best friend is a coach, right?
Right.
He ends up being the senior master at that establishment.
Mm-hmm.
He now used to teach your kid sports.
Mm-hmm.
He now can get your kid a scholarship at that school,
mm-hmm.
just off of that connection. Now
right.
you don't pay school fee ever again,
mm-hmm.
just because you decided to have the right people inside your corner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Take it further. That person moves to go abroad, to go to school. Houston, whatever the case is, they move abroad. You marry. You now have that person in Houston who could now find a sports program for your son to go into. Now your son could now be in college. Mm-hmm. You're not paying a dime. You have a perfect foundation. That's why you have to be very careful with the people you allow inside your circle. Everybody giving everybody godfather and godmother title. God knows the last time you see them judge. You know what? That's how it is. Like you have to really be very, very careful with people you let in your circle because they directly influence and impact the direction of your life.
Right for that. So Nation, listen, we just had some awesome wisdom nuggets about entrepreneurship. We spoke about mental health. We even touched on all of the entrepreneurs who live in Abaco's and also inspiring. Travis, thank you for coming through once again.
Blessing us
with the wealth of knowledge. And as they always say, you haven't heard these words before, know that it's your time too. So.
Thank you for listening to It's Your Time to Soar. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review.